And the motion before conference this morning is this: that this conference agrees that Northern Ireland's local government structures are in need of proper reform, expresses deep regret that the current proposals are counterproductive and continue to be driven forward by the DUP and Sinn Féin for their own selfish political means, believes that the new council areas were not drawn up to reflect local community ties or any other logical association, but instead represent a manipulation of the boundaries and the ratepayers within them. Notes that the potential costs of the current proposals are likely to far outweigh any possible savings in the foreseeable future, and therefore reaffirms the Ulster Unionist Party position of opposing the current reorganisation until new, fair and properly costed reforms are brought forward. And the proposer of the motion is Councillor Trevor Wilson, the Chairman of the Ulster Unionist Councillors Association.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Conference, colleagues and friends, it's my pleasure to stand before you here this morning and move this motion. Many of you will know that this party has been at the forefront of calling for a fair and affordable reorganisation of our local government for many years. Indeed, it was back in 2000 when speaking at the Ulster Unionist Conference that the then Minister of the Environment, Sam Foster, kick-started the process of reforming our local councils. And before that, the last major reform of local government was back in 1972. Whilst those were different days with obviously different challenges, that reform represents what happens when poor decisions are taken. Old councils, many of whom operated on county boundaries, were disbanded, and 26 new district councils were created, which varied significantly in population, size and resources. So we recognise the need for reform, and it needs to happen soon. I hope you will agree with me, however, that it is crucially important for those who make the final decision not to repeat the mistakes of the past. Change is needed, but what I am vehemently opposed to is simply having reform for reform's sake. Unfortunately, the current proposals being spearheaded by the DUP and Sinn Féin do not represent reasonable improvements. Fast forward 40 years from the last reforms, and the issues have seen false dawns, games of political brinkmanship, and even Edwin Poots, when he was the Environment Minister, carrying out another one of his U-turns. As many of you will know, this party has long favoured a reduction of 26 councils down to 15. We voted against the 11 council model at the executive table, and we voted against it in the Assembly. But let me focus on just a couple of the examples of how the current proposals are so flawed. Firstly, you will be aware that we have major problems with the boundaries. I'm sure some of the other contributors to this debate will highlight more specific examples of how they are a farce. Who in this room doesn't think that in drawing up the new council boundaries, the Commissioner should have been mindful of local community ties and identities? Well, the DUP and Sinn Féin didn't, so the Commissioner wasn't allowed to. That is why we have the ridiculous situation like Dundonald, on the edge of East Belfast, being moved into the new Lisburn Council. Let me put it this way. Stormont isn't anywhere near Lisburn, yet under the new councils, Lisburn starts only a few hundred yards from Stormont's front gate. Similar comparisons can be drawn between Fermanagh and Omagh and Londonderry and Castlederg. What these boundaries represent is a clear and simple gerrymandering and the manipulation of the ratepayers who live within them. It's an us and them situation. The DUP get a super council, then Sinn Féin must get one as well. And of course, let us remember what the DUP have done with Belfast. It's coming up almost now 12 months since the vote was taken to lower the Union flag on Belfast City Hall. The violence which followed was reprehensible, and the DUP promised retribution. What was their cry? Get on the register and vote for us. Yet all the time in the back of their minds, they must have known that Belfast City Council, under the new boundaries, will have such a nationalist presence that it will almost be impossible to right that wrong decision. Either the DUP didn't care, or they simply let Sinn Féin walk over them again. Of course, there are other issues rather than just the boundaries. What about the costs? We've been told that there'll be savings down the line and that we've got to spend to save. The only problem is the Department of Environment won't tell us what these costs and savings are. We've got an old report from PricewaterhouseCoopers which talks about the reform costing £118 million with potential savings of £438 million over 25 years. Attractive figures, I'm sure all will agree, but that has the only piece of work that has been carried out. Are we seriously basing the reform of local government on one independent report? Indeed, in June 2010, the DUP ministers at the executive table had just voted against more or less the same proposals that they are now steamrolling through the Assembly. Edwin Poots said that the cost of amalgamating the councils would have, and I quote, exceeded the financial benefits that would have been derived. So the costs outweighed the savings then, but obviously now they don't. You see, combining councils costs more than just laying off a few staff. There are huge costs involved in issues such as rates convergence and the combination or splitting of council liabilities. And yes, while the Department of Finance may have walked themselves into a corner and been forced to agree an economic package that will only cover some of the initial costs, the real costs of the proposed reform will be borne by Northern Ireland's ratepayers for many years to come. Unfortunately, these reforms are well down the road, but I can assure you that this party has challenged, argued and persevered on every issue. I would like to pay tribute to our current environment spokesperson in the Assembly, Tom Elliott, who is doing an absolutely great job for local government. And of course, before him, Danny Kinahan and Roy Beggs. I would also like to place on my record my gratitude as Chairman of the Councillors Association to each and every one of our councillors who continue to serve this party and their local constituents day in and day out. They too do a great job. In conclusion, Mr. Chairman, the reform of local government was a real opportunity for our province. I would have liked to have stood here today before you and said that this party was looking forward to a new dawn of local politics here. The reform was a real chance to improve this country's democratic governance. An exciting range of new functions could have so easily been accompanied by the political and public resolve to make the changes as seamless and fair as possible. However, the reforms were hijacked, the boundaries twisted, the councils carved up, and the idea of cost and rationale thought thrown out of the window. Mr. Chairman, I move this motion and I look forward to a healthy debate. Thank you.
Thank you, Trevor. And to second the motion, would you please welcome to the lectern Alderman Michael Henderson from Castlereagh.
Mr. Chairman, party colleagues, can I first of all welcome you all here to Castlereagh, the premier borough of the 26 existing councils. And I would like to basically continue what Trevor was saying. The reason this was, there was two main benefits which was to come out of the review of public administration and especially the review of local government. And they were key benefits in different types of delivery service we were going to have, such as planning, communities planning, and roads, minor roads, housing. And then they were saying, how are we going to deliver this? So we all listened yesterday. I don't know if people were here yesterday. We had a brilliant motivator speaker, and he says, always use three words when delivering anything. And I think the DOE got there before us, because they brought things out like VTC, Voluntary Transitional Committees. They brought out STCs, Statutory Transitional Committees, RTCs, Regional Transitional Committees. Does this mean anything to anyone here? No. How does this affect you as a ratepayer? Anyone know? Yeah? Well, let's cover it. You all know there's going to be 11 new council areas. We'll go through them just to see how they've been put together. We wouldn't have picked these, but they're put together. You have Antrim and Newton Abbey. You have Armagh, Banbridge and Craigavon. Belfast District, that's all it's listed as. It doesn't tell you that they've taken parts of Lisburn and they've taken parts of Castlereagh, but it's just called Belfast District. You have Derry and Strabane, Fermanagh and Omagh, a very good mix, that one. Lisburn and Castlereagh, Mid and East Antrim, Mid Ulster, Newry, Mourne and Down, North Down and Ards. That's the new council areas. How do we bring them together? What the department thought would do is, let's make a VCT, Voluntary Transitional Committee. And what they had said was, we'll take a number of councils from each of the existing councils, bring them together, tell them what they need to do, and see if they can get on with it. We don't even talk. The simple reason is, everyone is there for their own little council area. And the Voluntary Transitional Committee, although we said we could do this and we could do that, it had to go back to the original councils to be ratified, and the original councils, because they weren't part of it, didn't accept most of the stuff that was put forward. So then they said, we'll make them statutory transitional committees, so they'll have some power behind their decisions. So they have now been appointed, but the joke was, where you have your voluntary transitional committees, they didn't actually transfer to your statutory, they were reappointed. So the people and the work that was done before wasn't automatically transferred across. So all this information is happening, but it's not getting back. And there's about, what they've given is 28 different pieces of legislation to get through. If you take for Castlereagh and Lisburn, we have completed 4. We're working on 11. And the rest we haven't even started. The deadline for that is April this year. And we can't even get the legislation passed to actually pass this. We talk about rate conversion, and that's you are going to pay for this. And initially when they said this, they were going to have this big pot of money, and central government was going to put it there, and we could draw down to help us with rates conversion and to make this all happen. The new tranche, when it came across, they said, no, this will all have to be done by local government. You're going to make the savings. The savings is going to be over a 25-year period. Most of us will be dead before we even realise it. So you're going to pay for it. For example, if you're in a low-rate area, like people in Castlereagh, and we're moving some of it into Belfast, they go from the lowest rates to the highest rates. So rate conversion comes in, and there's going to be a supplement, and that's going to be for 2 years. After the 2 years, the government is not going to support anymore. It's up to the council to try and get that right. So you will be paying a lot more for the services you have now. How does it affect you? What are you going to get more for your money? Not a lot. They're giving us planning, but they're telling us how we should do planning. They're now saying that it should be a watchdog put in to look after it, and there should be targets set against planning. I thought that was in place at the moment. You know, so why, if they're transferring functions, would they actually want to put new watchdogs in and appoint new bodies to watch councillors? If this goes forward as is, it's going to cost you a lot of money, and it'll be like turkeys voting for Christmas. So I'm saying to you, I put this forward to you, as it is, I second the motion put before you, and I hope we have a lively debate. But remember, vote the wrong way, and it's you that's paying for it.
Thank you, Michael. I now have a list of names of people wishing to speak, and the first one I would ask to come up to the lectern is Alex Bird.
Conference, colleagues and friends. Last night I spoke to Tom Elliott and I said, I was speaking on this morning, I was asked to do it. I said, do you want me to speak for it or against it? He said, do what you like, this is a democratic party. I have no problem speaking what I'm going to say. In Enniskillen there's a shop called Home Field and Stream. Field stands for Firearms Department. Now, I was in it last week, and a guy came in that I knew, and he asked the assistant, he said, "Do you sell silencers for shotguns?" The assistant says, "Why would you want one of them? I've never heard it happen." He says, "Ah, the daughter's got herself into a bit of trouble. I want to give her a quiet wedding." Now, you may well ask, what's that got to do with RPA? But the 11 model of RPA will not be a happy marriage. More an uncivil partnership, and it's not happening quietly. 26 councils, we all agree, in politics are too many. The Ulster Unionist position in the negotiations was 15, and surprisingly, DUP and Alliance and SDLP all agreed on that. Sinn Féin wanted 7. So how did we get to 11? An unholy alliance. Well, I believe the Provisional Republicans of Sinn Féin and the Provisional Unionists of the DUP got together and came up with a compromise. 7 plus 15 equals 22. Divide by 2 and you get 11. Now, with the DUP, we're promised no more pushover unionism. Who's a pushover now? Carrying on with the wedding analogy, in some cultures, the union of a man and a woman demands a dowry. So were any dowries exchanged between the two major parties? Well, you know the answer. It's already been said. The carve-up suited both of them. RPA was supposed to provide, to devolve more power to councils. Very little's coming. Michael had said that. RPA was to provide effective and efficient local government. It won't. RPA was supposed to save us money. It will cost us, and that has been said. Now, I support, like most or all of our councils and all party members, support the reform of local government, but not the version that we have at the moment. If the current version never happens, it'll be too soon for me. I support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. And the next name I have is that of Joy Rolston.
Conference, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. As an Ulster Unionist councillor, a ratepayer and a parent, I strongly agree with the motion presented today. I concur that there is a need for a proper reform in Northern Ireland's local government structure, but I have huge concerns at the current proposals being railroaded by both the DUP and the Sinn Féin, as it is transparent this is for their own selfish political needs. How many of the new proposed council areas were drawn up to reflect local community ties? As an elected representative, I find it difficult to see any rationale or logic in increasing our DEAs, in some cases by 3 times the present size. Will ratepayers still get value for money? Or will elected representatives become a phone number or an email address? I feel this structure for RPA will cause us to lose our personal touch with our constituents, especially in the rural areas. The current costs of the proposals are likely to far outweigh any savings in the foreseeable future. Let me draw your attention to 4 valid points. Who will be paying for this carve-up? How long will we be indebted to this self-centred proposal? Will my youngest son, Jack, who's 9, still be paying for this when he buys his first home? How much more will current ratepayers have to dole out if Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness continue driving this counterproductive proposal to the end of the line? Let us in the Ulster Unionist Party turn this gravy train round and take the driver's seat on RPA and oppose the current reorganisation until new, fair and properly costed reforms are brought forward. I support the motion.
Thank you, Joy. Our next speaker is the President of NILGA, Arnold Hatch. As you would imagine, NILGA represent quite a wide range of views, but Arnold is here this morning to speak on the motion. Thank you, Arnold.
Thank you very much, Chairman and delegates. As has just been said, the Vice Chairman has taken the first line of my speech. But it is a timely motion, and I thank the movers of the motion for putting it on the agenda this morning. And as you may or may not know, my role as President of the Local Government Association puts me in a situation where I'm supposed to be the voice of local government. And in that role, I'm speaking on the motion. I certainly agree with the sentiments of the motion, but we must be fully aware and be prepared for the attacks that will be made upon this party by the DUP and Sinn Féin whenever we oppose this local government reform. Because they will point out to us that it was the Ulster Unionist Party which started down this road 13 years ago. There was no doubt that at that time all public bodies were needed and needed reform. We had many years of direct rule and quangos just grew like Topsy. Departments were unaccountable to anyone except a minister who flew in for a morning or an afternoon to see what was going on. But since we lost power to the DUP and Sinn Féin, the reform programme, as has already been said, has run off course. We have watched with amazement how Peter Robinson stalled the process time after time until he caved in to Martin and carved up Northern Ireland to suit themselves and ensure, as a result of that, that Belfast will be in the hands of Republicans and Nationalists for the foreseeable future. The original powers of the new councils we were to get under direct rule were cut back drastically until at the present time there's really not much point in dissolving 26 councils and squeezing them into 11, a number which has absolutely no logic whatsoever. You remember the term co-terminosity? It has disappeared off the agenda. Yes, local government does need reform, but not in the way it is at the moment. Why should councillors, and I remember a former colleague in the Ulster Unionist Party who's now departed from us, not physically but party-wise, who said that local councillors were second-class citizens for far too many years. Why should we not have the same powers and responsibilities as our counterparts in the rest of the British Isles? So you can see, fellow delegates, how difficult my role is in trying to make this rickety old process work. The process began when the Assembly had money to centrally fund and pump prime the new councils. Now that's not the case, and the cost will be borne by councils and therefore increased rates. But even under direct rule, I can well recall Lord Rooker when asked, and I asked him the question, how would this reform be funded? His answer was, put it on the rates. The cost of the present reforms is estimated at £118 million. Even the ordinary man on the street knows that reducing to 15 councils instead of 11 would be cheaper. Retirement and redundancy payments would be less, therefore more affordable, and most importantly, as Joy pointed out, would have made the local connections and identity more achievable. I will leave the details of the local government reform bill to others who are contributing to this debate and to our MLAs, ably led by Tom Elliott, who is really on top of this legislation, and we congratulate you, Tom, on the excellent work you do in that regard. Even the planning service couldn't give us the costs of the various functions within the department. At least in councils, we can account for every penny we spend, and we have to the ratepayer. The departments can't or won't, and that is why the Ulster Unionist Party is right to oppose the current reorganisation until new, fair and properly costed reforms are brought forward. We intend to do what's right for Northern Ireland. Thank you.
Thank you, Arnold. And the next speaker is Philip Smith.
Good morning, conference. Every weekday morning, I drive into work along the A22 from Cumber into Belfast, usually heading my first traffic jam when I come into Dundonald. And as I pull along the Elk Inn facing the entrance to the Ulster Hospital, I think, welcome to Lisburn. Actually, I don't, but the point is, neither does anyone else. Most people think I've arrived in Belfast, well, at least into its suburbs. No disrespect to my Lisburn colleagues, but there is no logic to locating Dundonald, nor Newton Breda, Cairns Hill and Beech Hill for that matter, along with many other parts of Castlereagh, into a new Lisburn and Castlereagh Council. This brings me to why I believe the current RPA process is fundamentally flawed and a strategic own goal for unionism. Now, I fully support the case for reform of local government and the enhancement of council powers, but the current proposals are a failed opportunity. They fail to protect ratepayers, as the cost of reform will greatly outstrip any potential savings. They fail to empower local government to bring more services and powers closer to the community. They fail to stop the creeping cantonisation of Northern Ireland as the West becomes greener with the power to indulge in unilateral cross-border activity. And they fail to protect and enhance our regional capital of Belfast. The removal of the Union flag from City Hall showed how a Sinn Féin-led Belfast City Council will act with the support of the SDLP and Alliance. The fundamental question for me, therefore, is why, oh why, did the DUP agree to these RPA proposals and revised boundaries? How can the DUP, on the one hand, decry the removal of the flag and then support proposals that will guarantee that this will become permanent? How can the DUP agree to exclude large swathes of Belfast suburbs from the new council when this was the one opportunity to ensure that the council boundaries fully reflect the city boundaries? And how can the DUP collaborate with Sinn Féin to gerrymander unionism out of Belfast? The Ulster Unionist Party opposes the RPA proposals because they are bad for unionism, bad for ratepayers, and bad for Northern Ireland. Deputy Chairman, we have consistently opposed the 11 council model, preferring a 15 council solution that mirrored Westminster constituencies. This would ensure that Belfast City Council fully reflected its true boundaries and deliver a better deal for unionists across Northern Ireland, while still delivering any benefits that may result from the current RPA proposals. Deputy Chairman, I finish with this key question. Why have the DUP sold out Belfast? Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. As time is marching on, I possibly can't fit in maybe one or two speakers, so if anybody does want to speak, if you wish to show your hand, then you will have that opportunity. Thanks, Derek. You'll not believe this, and I don't want to say it, but the light's blinded me.
That possibly could not be said of another hussy. Good morning, conference. I'm probably going to repeat some of the things that have already been said, but I think they are worth repeating. We need to remember where this thing started out. Arnold has spoken on behalf of Nilga. We all remember a time when Nilga, in the main, supported the 15 council model. The issues of, you mentioned, co-terminosity has disappeared. Local identity, which was extremely important to me and the area that I come from. There was a model which presented a natural pyramid of representation with local councillors, MLAs, your MP. There was logic in what was there. All the parties except Sinn Féin. Oh, I forgot about Francie Molloy. Francie was on our side at the time and suffered for it. All of the parties wanted a 15 model, but something happened, and I still have not heard the answer. What deal did the DUP do with Sinn Féin to switch to an 11 council model? They did a dirty deal, and they stabbed Northern Ireland in the back by doing that.